First of all, I'd like to say on this March the 9th, 2019, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, on God's good, great planet Earth, happy birthday to my sister, Eleanor Diane Coleman Dianteneck. Ah, yes. Happy birthday, my dear sister. You were my sister from the same mother, but from another father. And I recall those wonderful, wonderful years. And I respect your decisions, even the decision that you made to leave. But this is what I'd like to do is, I would like to invite my listening audience to go over the question with me. What would it be if I returned to one of my community's Christian pulpits? What?
I'm working on a building. I'm a working on a building. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord. I'm a working on a building. I'm a working on a building. I'm a working.
Getting worn out now. I can't wear you out. You gotta stick with me. Here we go.
If I preacher, I tell you what I do. I learn every word in that big black book and put up a pilgrim's view. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. Yeah, yeah. I'm working on a building. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, it's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. Oh, oh, it's a Holy Ghost building. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, oh yeah, oh my Lord, oh my Lord. All right, oh my Lord.
Johnny Blair from an album Snapshots. Thought that I'd start off with that. Johnny, his wife, Cassie, well, they're no longer married. But when they were married, of course, they were husband and wife. They're from Pennsylvania, that area around there. And they were heavily into Pentecostalism. And I think Cassie heard me on Truth Radio. And we had lunch a couple of times. And Johnny sent me many of his albums. Last I heard, he was playing with a couple of nice rock and roll bands up around in Northern California, I believe. But Johnny Blair, from an album called Snapshots. It's a very interesting CD. Working on the Building. Cut number 2, Love, Love Alone. Cut number 3, Unresolved. I like his music. Cut number 4, Like a Father to a Son. And 5, Steinbeck, Found the Valley. That's right, that was, oh my gosh. And he had a lot of controversial music, good music. I liked it. It's kind of country, folk. And I think it's adequate for the question that I ask. And I may come back to another cut later on. But I'd like to ask the question, what if I did return to the pulpit again? Would I sound like Johnny Blair did? Would my message be, what would my message be to the millennials? Could I be a pastor as I was a pastor? If you go to my YouTube clips and see me preach, and I believe that because I have, if not in paper form, because I got rid of them, but I have all of my outlines on the hard drive. It'd be very easy for me to print it off and highlight certain things, cut out certain things, leave certain things in there, because I'm addressing an audience, an entirely different, new and unique audience, an audience that would not be given necessarily to the things that I would say in the outline, or to the things that the subject matter in the Bible is suggesting them to follow. Listen to what I'm saying. I have never had this thought before. 75 years old, and I want to live 25 more years. I've already told you that, because I want to see 100. Matter of fact, I was looking at Al Jazeera News today, and they showed a 116-year-old woman from Japan. And I said, sister, you hang in there. I'm right behind you. If she can live to be 116, then it's possible for you to live a long time. And what if I donned a pulpit? What if someone had the nerve to say, Pastor John retired? And I said, what? would you come and be the pastor of this church? We would just give you food to eat, make sure that you're warm and sheltered, but every Sunday morning, we would like you to come to this place and bring a sermon from the Word of God to our hearts. Would you do it? What do you mean? Would I pastor? No, I didn't ask you to pastor. I don't want you to do any counseling. You're too old for that, John. You don't have to get in your little mini coupe and drive anywhere. Everything will be at your disposal, but the question is a simple one. Would you do that, John Coleman, if you were asked to do it? And from your heart, could you teach from that book, Moral, Ethical Principles, that would help human beings live a better, fuller, healthier life? All right, wait a minute. I got a few questions that I'd have to ask then. What kind of people would I expect to come into that building? All kinds of people. Gay people, straight people, black people, Indian people, any kind of people, human beings. Any religion, any faith, any status. John, if you step back in that pulpit, there would be no denomination. The only thing that would make the person that gives me this offer any kind of recognition is that if they would say, I'm going to make sure that if you come in there and if you're well enough to speak, as you did way back in the day, would you pastor? Not in the sense of being a pastor like most of these pastors are today, but would you do what you were doing if you re-entered the pulpit with a faithful heart, determined to get the same result that you were attempting to get when you were doing that in your prime? Would you do that, John, for humankind that you loves or that you boast of loving? Gladly. Answer the question, John. No. I have to answer this question. And so, but before I answer your question, I have a few questions of my own to offer up to you. First of all, and I don't have to enter into prayer because God never told me to stop telling the truth. He just told me to leave places that wouldn't listen to the truth. So in order to answer your question, conscience of my own, that I'm having a conversation with you, people that are listening have been given the opportunity to listen to the conversation from a third person vantage point based upon how close you are to God. Because you see, when God called me as a pastor, that's a lifelong job. I just will not get involved with church politics and all the, excuse me, the bullshit that goes along with that kind of stuff. You know, denominationalism and how much are you going to pay me and all that kind of crap. That is, you know, you can keep that. Well, do you require life insurance? Listen, we all here to do one thing, man, and that's to die. I'm looking, you know, no, I don't want to change the conversation. So let me stay right there. All kind of people coming in here. What would the room be called? The room would be called Nothing, John. people can, well, would it have to be on a Sunday? Any day that you'd like to do that, John. Any day that you'd like to do it. We'll finance it. We'll take care of it. And you would be able to speak of the one monotheistic God that you said that you believe in, that has kept you and that has kept your mind. Yes. Yes, I do it. Man, I do it at the drop of a hat. Are you kidding me? Heck yes. But I refuse. Let's jump back in real time. Right here. I refuse to get behind a pulpit where I do not have the freedom to tell the truth. I was looking at Al Jazeera News today, and they had a special on about where how they showed some 20 years ago the Nigerian army came in and one part of Africa and was supposed to be a police force taking care of the people there, and while the government was going through transition, and how the Nigerian army massacred some of those people, and a photographer, an African, a black man, took the pictures of the murders or the assassinations by the army people of these people in Sri Lanka, something like that, somewhere in Africa. I forget the name of the neighboring African country, but it was inhumane. And it showed the people begging for their lives, saying that they were not rebels and how these people just killed them. And then they had their families talk, and I began to weep in front of looking at Al Jazeera News today. I'm weeping, and I said, I'm tired of it, God. They're killing and keep killing and keep killing and keep killing. And they don't see human beings as human beings. A white racist doesn't see a black man as a human being. That is sick to me. That is sick. And if I were pastoring, I would not, if I were preaching behind the pulpit of a room, a lectern, something, I would say it is inhumane for us to do what we are doing to each other. It is. If there was not enough food for us to sustain ourselves on this planet, don't you know that a handful of us humans would get together and devise a tool or a way to produce food to keep our kind surviving? And we just hate and kill and kick and destroy. Yeah, I do it. But would there be an audience to come to the building to hear one man's opinion about life such as it offers? Because most of the young people today would say, but I have no need for anything outside of me, John. There is nothing outside of me. They would say, there is no God that we can appeal to. You know what? Let's talk about one of the arguments that really never flowed very well for me when I was a pastor back in the 70s and 80s. Because you can't prove that there is or is not a God, and one would have to wait upon death to see what happens after they close their eyes, because as the old adage goes, no one has ever come back and told you what it's like. But yes, they did. Yes, they did. I'm sure that in all, listen to me, in all goodness, when I spoke to my sister who died a number of years ago, I wouldn't do that if I didn't think I wasn't connecting with her. When I mention her voice, She's alive. She's here. She has purpose. She had purpose as a human being. That's why when I looked at the Al Jazeera news and saw the videos of these people being killed, and said the people that killed them cut off their purpose, cut off something precious that God would infuse, that God would have done. Yes, I'd do it. Yes. If anybody in this city came to me and said, John, we'd like you to bring a Christian message on Sunday morning, I would say, well, why are you doing that? Well, we're looking for an interim preacher. Well, I don't want that. I don't want a job. I don't want to join. Well, will you just come? We need someone to come and speak. Yeah, I'd do it. I didn't print off one of my, you know what I'd do? I would go to any hard drive that I have, print off any message, and then I said, now let's see what the Spirit of God would do with me and this book. I like the way that Johnny Blair called it, this black book. Oh, goodness. Yeah, I think it's time for us to listen to another number, and then I'll come back and entertain this idea a little bit more. I think I'll just let Johnny Blair take us through a little dialogue. Johnny?
Now, that song is written. That's from that same period as She's Not Some Animal. I'd taken a trip by bus from Tampa, Florida to San Francisco. And we had this big long stop in Los Angeles. They lost all my luggage. And I had no, you know, just chump change. I had enough to buy a stale Snickers bar. It was 4 in the morning. Had a bath or shower in a few days. And it was a crazy trip. But we stopped in Arizona, picked up, you know, Navajos carrying their chickens. It was funny because we stopped in the middle of the desert, and all of a sudden they're just there. And you look, see, where's he going to go? And there's nothing around there, like a couple cactus. You know, so one of them kind of trips, and bad coffee, the whole schmear, you know, Willie Nelson wannabes wanting to play my guitar and all that. I was pretty exhausted, so I get there, and I'm sitting there kind of just looking out the window, and this fruit truck goes by. This is very early in the morning. The fruit trucks are out making their rounds. It has all those crates, and they have crate art, orange crate art and so forth, they call it. Well, this crate art, they paint these really nice labels, paste them on the end of each type of produce. And there's pears and strawberries and all these things. There's one peaches called Desert Ruby. And went by and went, instant song! So I hurried up, write all this stuff down and get home and knocked into the shape of playing this song for a lot of years.
Wow.
So the whole thing is like my kind of impressionistic poetry about Los Angeles and seeing satellite photos of it and being there and all that kind of thing.
What a great story.
Right. Now, let's listen to the number and see if it lives up to its name. But it was an interesting story. I don't think that there was anything attached to it. Okay, I'm back. That was the cut. It was supposed to be music. All right, well, I tried. What do you think? Do you think that really, seriously, all kidding aside, do you think that, do you think that that would be a venture that a person like me could seriously look at? Because the question involves the society in which I live in today. See, old school Christianity had it like that preacher that preached Aretha Franklin's funeral. I'm going to do this right in front of your face, whether you like it or not. That was the disposition there. That's what that was all about. I'm going to do this right in front of your face. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I have a CD in my hand right now, and if I were, yeah, I like this number. Here's one of my favorite Christian artists that ever made music, and I hope he's yours too. His name is Keith Green, and I'm playing from his collection. Here it is. Now, if I were behind the pulpit again, that is the kind of music that Pastor John listened to his entire adult Christian life. And if I would dare to get behind a pulpit. As a matter of fact, the guy that you just listened to, Keith Green, that's one cut. It's called The Ministry Years, Keith Green, Volume 2. It's from that album, 1980 to 1982. I'm telling you, this is the kind of music that I listen to all the time. I'm trying to look at a number here. Oh, yes. I want to play cut number 8. Yeah, I like to play this record because this is the way I would answer the question as to whether I would ever get back in the pulpit again. Listen to the words and listen to one of the greatest, I believe, Christian singers that ever lived. He died tragically in a tragic plane accident. My wife and I and my daughters were blessed enough to go and see him sing in the city of Long Beach just at a grand piano by himself, and it was worth it. But if I would ever get back into any kind of ministry, this is the way I'd sound. the day before I step behind the lectern. Say it, Keith. Say it, boy. Say it. Listen. There it is. Unless he builds it. Don't even try to do it. Yeah. His calls. That's it. Say it. Yeah. Yes. Listen.
Working so hard in the things that you believe in, no one can tear you away.
That's right, that's right. You may be sorry someday. That's right. Chorus, sing it. Hay and stubble. Well,
I'll up in the fire, but to love the Lord with all your heart should be your wife.
That's it, that's it. Desire. To love the Lord with all your heart should be your only one desire. Come on, Keith. And they ran this white boy out of church, and he was a Jew, too. Listen. Right. Listen. The drums. Listen.
Just the Lord wants it done. You're not working all the day. Building anything that is done. Anything that is done.
Anything that is done. That's Christian music. And if I ever went behind, if I ever got up in an institution to speak for God, I would play music like that. That's Keith Green. Now, when you do the study on Keith Green, a lot of people think that he died because he was performing sacrilege, bringing this kind of music in the church. Oh, no. This kind of music was the music of the day. So therefore, if I got behind the pulpit in a building today, I'm going to have to play the music of today. The music that the millennials listen to. Because you got to keep up with them. You got to keep up with them. And wouldn't that just be a great challenge to play this kind of music? But anyhow, I think I've answered the challenge, and that's it. Yes, if someone offered the opportunity for me to do that, and if I were healthily in my mind and body, I would actually take on the challenge. Can you believe that? Hey, listen, thank you for coming to my website, listening to a little music with me, and enjoying this wonderful Saturday afternoon. I got to go and visit a friend of mine who's in a convalescent home, so I got to cut this short, all right? God bless you, and thanks for coming to my site today. I really appreciate that.